This morning, I believe I'm going to be talking to you about who's going to marry the son. Who's going to marry the son? Who's going to marry the son? And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about, I think, the bride of Christ, and the church, the body of Christ. I think there is a, maybe there is a feeling or a deception that has gone out that everybody is the bride of Christ because you belong to a church. That's not necessarily true. You have to, first of all, the Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. So that's through Jesus Christ. And so the first requirement is, in order for you to marry the Son, you got to be born again, which means you have got to come the way God requires. I think one of the things that has been, we have kind of bought, kind of received from the world, is that we can do it our way. You know, we can whatever goes on, we can make a decision about how we want to do it, and we can. You know, God doesn't make anybody do anything, so you can choose. But see, God has specific, he has given us specific instructions concerning how to come back to him. And when he gives us specific instructions, he expects us to follow those instructions. You can't make it up your way. You can't decide, well, you know, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go the way God requires of me to get there. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. And you know what I really love about the Lord is that he gives us instructions. He's really a God that shows you that he loves you.
Yes. Yes.
You have these other gods that don't show you anything, but this God shows you everything before it even happens.
Yes.
You know, he tells you, hey, this is the way you walk. He says, walk there in it. He says, choose life. Mm-hmm. He tells us all those things, which to me tells me that he must really love me.
Yeah.
Love me a whole lot, you know, for him to tell me the truth. He's, you know, he doesn't make stuff up. He doesn't say stuff that isn't true. You can always count on him telling you the truth about everything, you know. And so, and that's why it's also, and I think we were praying this, even in prayer this morning, is that that's why it's important that you to develop a relationship with him.
Amen.
You know, it's nice to be my friend.
Come on now.
But you know what? You need him. Because I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to me, you're going to see imperfections.
Yeah.
And the closer I get to you, I'm going to see imperfections.
Yeah.
And so, but when the closer you get to him, you're going to see that he's perfect.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see any imperfections. But the closer I get to him, I'm going to see imperfections in myself.
Yes.
And so the closer you get to him, you're going to see imperfections in yourself. And so what ends up happening is, instead of me trying so hard to get close to you or to you or all of that, because see, what happens is when I get close to you, I kind of think I'm all that.
Come on.
Because I see imperfections in you.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, you know, I get this big head, you know, oh yeah, I'm, you know, I'm big and bad and all this kind of stuff because I ain't doing what so-and-so doing. Or I ain't doing. But you know, when I get close to God, I don't see nothing wrong with him. And I see hopefully just a little bit of what he sees is wrong in me.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully he doesn't show me everything that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? And so it is so vitally important that we develop a relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? And so often we run after people. We should be running after God. You know, I mean, really, get in your Bible, because the Bible is the thing that's going to help you to become who you're supposed to be in Christ. You know, and so, and see, and that's the other thing. Sometimes what happens is we might say a prayer, get born again for real. Then we get close to somebody who ain't living right, who's supposed to be living right. Then all of a sudden we think it's okay for us not to live right too. You know what I'm saying? And what is that scripture that says we compare ourselves by ourselves? And the most wrong thing that you can possibly do is to get around a Christian and they're not living right, and then all of a sudden you think you all that.
Yes.
And or you think it is okay for you to live wrong because they living wrong.
Yes.
Well, God didn't tell you to compare yourself by brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. You know, he wants us, he know whose standard he wants us to live by? His son. You know what I'm saying? So we're supposed to embrace him, get close to him, you know what he wants, how he wants us to live. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ruth, because I think, and this is just what I think it seems like to me, the more I tend to obey God, and you know, I pray that I'm obeying him all the time, but sometimes I realize it seems like the closer I get to him, sometimes the more I see I don't be obeying him. But it seems like the more I obey him, the more he tends to want to reveal to me about certain stuff. Because, you know, sometimes I read something and you get a little bit of something out of it. And I can go back and read the same thing, and I see something else. And I'm saying, God, how come I didn't see that the last time I read that? You know? And so I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ruth. And we're going to see this morning what we're going to get out of that. I was going to say, now what did I do with my notes? They're up there. But turn in the book of Ruth. Ruth is here. And it says in the first chapter, Ruth is only four little chapters. I would encourage you, take some time and read. I mean, it is so important to read the Bible. Read it over and over again. Anyway, let's get to this. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. So the woman, I'm sorry. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Now, I was reading this morning about the church. And when I say the church, I mean the body of Christ. And one of the things that this person said that I was reading, he said, you know, and this is true, a person can join a church but not necessarily be born again. You know what I'm saying? You can, just because you join a church don't mean that you have received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Now, what I personally think is this. I think if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for real, something got to change in you. But if ain't nothing changing in you, then you might need to re-examine whether or not you really received the Lord as your Savior. I mean, and there should be something in you, because you have become born again, there should be something that's causing you to want more of God. I mean, really. That really should be something that should want. I mean, really, I'm sure. Even if Mr. James made me mad, you know, I'm just calling him because I know Mr. James loves me. He don't do nothing to me. But I'm saying, even if he made me mad, if I'm born again, something, that seed that's on the inside of me, that's Jesus, something in there should cause me still to want God.
Yes.
You know, I shouldn't be walking around still mad.
Yes.
Something should be changing in me, you know? And so here you have here, it says, therefore she went out from the place. Where did I stop, y'all? Which verse?
Was it 7?
I don't know. Was it 8? Okay. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. It says, verse 14 is what I want to get to. It says, then they lifted up their voices and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Now, I want you to look at the difference between the two women. You have Orpah and you have Ruth. Now, it says Orpah made a decision to go back, but Ruth cleaved. And I looked up this word. In the King James, it says clave, C-L-A-V-E. And the Hebrew word, it says to cling, to catch by pursuit. You know, and I had to kind of sigh about that thing when it says catch by pursuit. In other words, Ruth made a decision, I'm going to run after this woman. Woo! You know, it's like when you really get born again, you make a decision, nothing is going to turn me back from pursuing God. I don't care what I meet on the way. You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you, while you're walking, you're going to meet some things on the way. You're going to encounter some things that are going to make you want to go in a different direction. But Ruth made a decision. It seems like when Ruth was in Moab with Naomi, she encountered something there. And what she had encountered, see, it's almost like Orpah joined the family, but she didn't encounter anything. You can join a church but not encounter anything. You can join a church and not get born again. You know, nothing really has really changed in your life. You know what I'm saying? But with Ruth, something had changed. And she knew, and it was like her saying to herself, well, you know, even though in Moab, my family's there, my friends are there, my home is there, but I don't know what it is, but something, I don't know what this thing is that I done touched or got a hold of, but I know one thing, I'm not going to let it go. Something done changed me here. And so here you have Ruth who says, now, she says, now, the thing you got to see too is both of them wept. But only one clung. You know, see, we all can get emotional. You know what I'm saying? For whatever's going on. You know, you can come up and be emotional because of how bad the situation might be. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you received Jesus just because you wept. You know what I'm saying? So in this situation with Orpah, the Bible says, and Ruth, it says, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get so loud. Y'all forgive me, because sometimes it just stirs me. But it says here, Ruth clung. She made a decision. I'm not going to let this thing, whatever it is I got a hold of, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to pursue it. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. And let me say this again. Let me say it again, because I already done said it once. You better get close to him, because if you get close to people, you're going to see something wrong in people the same way those people going to see something wrong in you. But when you get close to him, you need to get close to him. See, because when you get close to him, you ain't going to see nothing wrong. You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you, when you get close to him, you're not going to turn back. You know what I'm saying? You get close to people, you might turn back. When you get close to him, you're not going to turn back. And so you got to cling to him. You got to grab a hold of him. Because see, and then the thing is, grabbing a hold of him, he will sustain you. You know, he'll keep you. Look, we might fall down, but he's not going to ever fall down. Not going to do it. So, I mean, look, he won't cloud up your glasses. You'll always be well focused. You know, you're going to always be able to see the right way. And that's what you want, you know. And so here you have Oprah who goes back. She goes back to her old gods. You know, she didn't want to leave none of that stuff. I mean, that's when, you know, at some point, when there's a scripture that's in the New Testament where it says, it's a parable where they talk about the wheat and the tares. Mm-hmm. And it says, let them grow up together. Yeah. Yeah. But at some point, even that, I think there's another parable that talks about the sheep and the goats, doesn't it? Uh-huh. It said, at some point, though, he's going to separate them. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And so you can be growing up with somebody all your life. But at some point, God is going to separate.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? He's going to separate. You can be coming to church all your life. But at some point, God's going to separate. And see, you might think you're fine. You might think you're all right. You know, ain't nobody saying nothing about me. Ain't nobody in my face. Ain't nothing going on. But you know what? In the end, God's going to separate. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. And this is the Bible. See, and that's why it is important for you to have your Bible out, that you read it yourself. Now, let me also say this. You can read it and not understand it, and I can read it and understand it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, the Bible says, he that have an ear, let him hear. You might not have an ear to hear. So that's another thing. Even pursuing the Lord is saying, God, I want to hear what you want me to hear. I don't want my ears clogged up that when I'm reading that I don't get out of it what I need to get out of it for me. You know what I'm saying? You even have to say that. In the book of Revelation, he says that I don't know how many times. He says, he that have an ear, let him hear. So you even want God to be able to help you to hear. You know, you don't want to just be reading. I mean, I believe you can read it and you still can get some out of it, but I'm going to tell you, when I'm reading, I want God to talk to me.
Yes.
Tell me what to get right in my life. You know, help a sister out.
Yes.
And so Oprah went back to her people and to her gods. You know, you when you encounter Jesus, something has to change in your life. Either you're going to be a person who has joined the church, or you're going to become the church. That's the bottom line. I mean, seriously. And many people come to church. But the question is, are you the church? You need to be the church. You know what I'm saying? You want to kind of like prostrate yourself before the Lord and say, God. And see, I'm going to talk about Jonah. I don't know if I'm going to get to Jonah. But I mean, even as leaders, you got to get to a place where you just say, Lord, you know, let your will be done in my life.
Yeah,
because I'm going to tell you, I used to sit there and I used to look at the book of Jonah all the time. I used to say, wouldn't do what God wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And call them the whining prophets, you know. Yeah. You just whine, you God trying to get you to go somewhere and you don't want to go. And then I had to kind of look at myself and say, God, you know, sometimes I don't want to go where you want me to go. Sometimes I don't want to preach what you want me to preach. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, hey. And I'm going to tell you the truth. This happens when you get closer to him. You begin to see how you really are. And when he begins to ask you to do certain things. Sometimes you're like, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. Lord, let me think about it, Lord. Now, how is this going to benefit me, Lord? Do I really want to do this? You know what I'm saying? And then sometimes I have to go back to the Lord and just repent. So, Lord, forgive me because, you know, this script ain't about me. Not in this way, anyway. Ain't about me. It's about you. But it says, but Ruth said, and this is what Ruth said, the difference between joining a church and being the church. It says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. See, are you at a place with God that he sees that ain't nothing going to stop you from going with him. Are you determined? Lord, I mean, Lord, you know, you can give me a husband. You can give me a child. You can give me the biggest mansion. You can give me, I don't know how much money. You can give me, you can give me, you can give me. But it ain't going to stop me from following you.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? And see, Ruth had made this decision that I don't care what I am going. And then, and not only did she make the decision, then she spoke it. She said, let me tell you. And so I wrote down, I said, first of all, she said, don't ask me to leave you. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask me. Don't ask me to leave you. Do you know what I have now embraced? Do you know how good this God is? And you want me to go back to that stuff I used to be in? Are you crazy? Is something wrong? Do you not? I mean, sometimes we have to kind of think about it and say, I remember how I used to be.
Yes.
And now I remember how I am.
Yes.
Now, do I really want to go back to that? You know, sometimes we, like I said before, we'll look at a glass and we'll say it's half empty. And we need to look at the glass and say, you know what? This thing is half full. I remember when I was out there in the street.
Yes, yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
I remember when I was a whoremonger.
Yes.
I remember when I was a thief. I remember when I was a drunk.
Yes.
I remember.
Yes.
And he has brought me out of all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? He has delivered me from that stuff. And you mean to tell me I want to go back? You mean to tell me I'm going to complain about where I am? Even where I am right now is better off than where I used to be. And I'm going to complain? No way, Jose. You know what I'm saying? And so Ruth says, don't ask me to leave you.
Thank you, Lord God.
I remember them idols that I was serving back there in Moab.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She says, no, Ruth. She says, Naomi, where you going?
Yeah.
Even if I don't know what's going to happen in Judah, in Jerusalem, whatever, it's still better than what I was in. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, Orpah, she wept, and Orpah went back. Said, but Ruth said, no, I'm going forward. She says, don't ask me to leave you or turn back from following you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
No, she was pleading with her.
Yes.
No, crying but pleading. No, I don't want to go back. Don't let me go back. I got to stay with you. I understand where I was. Even if my husband is dead,
yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Still being with you is better than where I was back there.
Yes.
And then she says, wherever you go, I will go. You know, it's like you have to make that decision, that commitment, you know, to God. You know, it's like once you get born again, then you got to make some choices.
Yes. 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 Yes, ma'am.
You know what I'm saying? You can't stay where you are. You got to make some choices. You know, you got to, and let me tell you, everybody has to make some choices. You know what I'm saying? You can either stay where you are or you can move forward. You can walk. And as I was saying earlier, when you're walking, man, you're going to have obstacles on the way. You know, you're going to encounter different people. You're going to encounter different situations, different things. You know what I'm saying? On the way. So she says, wherever you go, I will go. She made that commitment right there. She says, Lord, she says, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going. She says, wherever you lodge, I will lodge. I'm going to change where I used to hang out. I'm going to change that place where I used to hang out. See, because something has changed in me. So I don't need to be in the same places where I used to hang out. So she says, wherever. See, because God ain't going to just hang out anywhere. And let me tell you this. If God decides to go a certain place and he wants you to go, he wants you to go because you are ready to go there.
That's right.
You know, it's like you don't decide, well, you know, I'm going on back there myself because I got it together. You know, I'm trying to pimp y'all. I don't know how to do it, but you know, I got it together. So I'm going to go. But no, you better not go.
That's right.
You better not go until God tells you to go. Because you may not be ready because you might get swallowed up. Right, go and get, go right on back into that same stuff that you came out of. You might think you're stronger than you really are.
That's right.
You know, so he says, and then she said, your people shall be my people. So in other words, she changed the people she hung around to.
Yeah.
In other words, I can't hang around them folk no more.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not putting, and let me tell you, God don't be putting down people.
No, no.
He ain't trying to put down nobody. He just saying, you know, I need to pull you out of what you were in. Now, I want to take you, now y'all keep your finger there because I want you to go to the book of Judges. You know, as I said at the beginning, God really, really loves us. I mean, he really does. And you know, what we've got to understand, excuse me, because he loves us, we've got to understand too that he also has, he has greater wisdom. He has greater insight. He knows what's best for us. So now in the book of Judges, I guess I need to read chapter 1 and 2. Hold on 1 second. Let me find it. You know, sometimes you feel like you know, lost the book out of the Bible. But I know where it is. I know where it is. Ain't there some? Isn't that a shame? But now, in the book of Judges, boy, this is some small print here. Hold on a minute. Let me find another Bible. Look, let me find another Bible with some bigger print here. Because that one is too small for me. I'm sorry. But in Judges, excuse me for the coughing too. Y'all pray for me and this cough because I need to get rid of this thing. I am so tired of it. I need to get this mess off of me. But in the book of Judges now, it says here, and I'm going to read to chapter 2. So I'm going to read a little bit, okay? It says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? Now, one of the things you have to understand is that when Israel came out of Egypt, they left the idols and all that stuff in Egypt, and God brought them out. But God also gave them some instructions. He says, and well, when you go into the promised land and take these lands and stuff like that, you need to understand that you need to drive out these other people who don't live like I've instructed you to live.
Right.
And, you know, and sometimes, you know, we'll look at God and we'll say, well, God, I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, it's almost as if we act like we're equal to God. You know, well, God, you know, I understand what you're saying, but do you really think that's the right thing to do? You know what I'm saying? As if God is on our level.
Right.
And basically, it was almost like what we do is we'll bring God down to our level, and we want to negotiate with God. And so it goes on and says, so Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. Let me go down a little bit further because I don't have time to read through this whole thing. I want to get to that part where he says he makes that statement. Okay, verse 27. It says, however, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like when I was looking at that, you know, it's almost like, you know, there are some things in your life that just want to hang on. You're trying your best to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And that thing just want to hang on to you no matter what. I mean, you know, you could have had a problem with pornography. You could have had a problem with lying. You could have had a problem with, I don't know, any old thing. What'd you say? Say it again. Yeah, girl. I don't mean to call you girl, but you know what I'm saying. You understand? Yeah. It's like no matter what you do, it want to hang on to you. And so they said here in this land, it says, where was that? What was that verse? And it came to pass when Israel was strong. No, I'm gonna go up a little bit further. It says, it says, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. So you'll have something that no matter what it is you might try to do to get rid of it, it still wants to hang on to you. You know what I'm saying? And so it says here, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Now see, we will also act like, well, you know what? I'm gonna just go ahead and let them stay. I'll just let them stay, and what they said here, I'm gonna let them stay and put them under tribute, you know, because I got a little bit more wisdom than what God said. God said drive them out, but you know what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna just let them hang around. I'm gonna let them be my slaves. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Look, you said I'm gonna let them be my slaves, and you become theirs. That's a sad thing, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, but isn't it the truth, though? Isn't that what happens? It says, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of a great thing, Nahal, Lo. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put on the tribute. Now, let me also say this. Okay, where did I stop? Verse 30. That's where I stopped, right? Okay. Let me also say this. All it takes is one. To be disobedient.
That's all.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody else will follow.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, seriously, it's the truth. Yeah. Well, they were all right. You know, so since they were all right, I'm going to go ahead and do what they told, what that person did too. I ain't seen nothing happen to them.
That's right.
I mean, you know us. That's who we are. It says, nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Achor or the inhabitants of Sidon or... Let me see, Lord, I'm losing my place. Or of, what is that? Aleph and all the rest of them. So they go to 32. So the Azurites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants. Great, they just go there and keep saying, isn't that amazing? And then just talks about how all the rest of them wouldn't drive everybody out. And so now you got all these people who are living in the land who not supposed to be there. Because God said, when you go in, he says, drive them all out. And he has a reason for saying it. He says, drive them out now. And so, I'm thinking that the first group who said, we're not going to drive them out, probably said, it's just going to be that little group. They don't realize that people follow you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And next thing you know, instead of it being more of you than them, it's more of them than you.
Yeah.
Because everybody else decided, well, we'll do the same thing. And it's going to be just one or two. For the next thing you know, it's a whole bunch of them. And it says, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valley. And then some. And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Harris in Ajalon and in wherever. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became greater, they were put under tribute. Then the bounty of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim from Selah and upward. It says, then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Boshim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. So the angel comes after they make the decision that they were going to let all these people live in the land with them. This angel comes. And of course, this is also after Joshua has died. You know, and see, and that's why, God, I tell you, it is so important for us to sow into our children and our children's children and our children's children the ways of the Lord. Because see, at some point, we're going to all die.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And then what are they going to do after we all die? Now see, because here you have this situation where Joshua dies. Now, and then it's going to tell you everybody else dies too. It says, the angel says, why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you. So in other words, he said, I've given you the land. I told you when you went in, you were supposed to drive them out, but you ain't drive them out. So he says, well, you know what? I'm this big angel, but I ain't going to drive them out either. So God is saying, I ain't going to drive them out either. And so he says, but they shall be thorns in your side. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Said, since you made a decision not to obey me, these people that you have allowed to stay in your land, they're going to be a thorn in your side. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like saying that if you make a decision not to walk with God, not to allow him to take out of your life the things that need to be taken out of your life, then those things that you allow in your life that are not in according to God's will, they will become a thorn in your side. They'll become a snare to you. You know, and you think you're doing God good and you're doing yourself an injustice. You know what I'm saying? And so he goes on, he says, so it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. And that's something that says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. See, because what happened is this. Okay, they're supposed to go in and possess the land. Well, they did go in and possess the land, but he also told them, when you possess this land, he says, get rid of all the inhabitants, you know. So in other words, you would have all people who were living in this land who worshiped God. Well, but they didn't do that. They went in, possessed the land, but then they allowed other people to stay in the land. These were people who did not serve God. And so what ends up happening is you have people like Joshua and other people who were older, who had seen what God had done. They all died.
Right.
And so then you may have had people who were marrying each other and all that kind of stuff. And so you end up with probably more people who serve Baal than people who serve God. And so then they have children. Then the next group, maybe they have children. And so then what do you end up with? You end up with a land of people who all serve Baal. They no longer knew God. And see, God knew before it happened what was going to happen. But we always say, you know what, God, you know what, let's talk about this thing. Come, let us reason together. I think I know a little bit better than you do, God. Let me tell you what I think. And God is saying, well, you know what, I'm the first and the last. You know, I know everything that's going to go on. I know everything that's going to happen.
Yes.
So why don't you just believe me and do what I tell you to do? Because I know what's best for you. And so you see the situation that's going on and what's happening. This is what has occurred. And so it's actually during this time when the book of Ruth is written, it's during the time of the judges. Because you remember at the beginning, the first chapter, it says that her husband left Bethlehem to go to Moab because there was a famine in the land. And during the time of Judges, that's what was going on. Famine was going on. And so getting back to this thing about, let me get back to Ruth. Give me a minute, y'all. Turn back to Ruth. So you see this stuff that is going on. You see this stuff with this woman named Oprah and with Ruth, and you see as the body of Christ, you have got to do it. Look, you've got to do it God's way. You can't do it your way. You can't act like, you know, I know more than God knows or what I think. You know what I'm saying? Let me also say, you know what? Even if somebody is doing the wrong thing, don't you think God is big enough to deal with that person? I mean, really? I mean, you're talking about the God of the whole universe who can hold the whole earth in his hand, the palm of his hand, right? You mean to tell me he can't take care of whoever? He can't take care of whatever situation that might be going? You mean to tell me, are you sure you're serving the right God?
Come on, Pastor.
If you don't think he can handle it, I mean, what God do you serve? The God I serve can do anything. Let's turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 38.
All right,
man. Turn to Job. You know, because this is the God that we serve.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Let me get it. Whew. This is the God that we serve. It says here, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Wow, this is the God. Okay, this is the God that we're questioning and we're asking, do you really know what you're saying? Do you really know what you're doing? And he says here, tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, it's Job chapter 38, verse 7, on verse 8 now. Or who shut in the sea? Who shut in the sea with doors? Wow. When it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop. Wow. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? He says, have you commanded the morning? Yeah, it is a while. That's what he says. Have you commanded? You know, every morning you wake up, do you know that's God who's commanding the morning? It's God who's commanding the sun. Wow. You know. And caused the dawn to know its place. Woo! That it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it. Excuse me. It takes on form like clay under a seal and stands out like a garment. From the wicked, their light is withheld. And the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. This is God talking to Job, right? Says, where is the way to the dwelling of light? Mm-mm-mm. And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Do you know it because you were born then, or because the numbers of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Wow. Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water? And I got to stop there because my time is gone. But he, you know, so it's like, you know, trying to say to us, you know, God knows everything.
Yes, he does.
And he knows what he's doing. Whether we think he knows what he's doing or not, God knows what he's doing. You know, and we have to rest in that.
Yeah.
God, you know what you're doing. God, you know what? I got to rest that God is God.
Right.
You know, I know sometimes we don't want to talk about movies, but I remember the movie, the one with Yul Brynner, and he goes out. This is the Ten Commandments. And he goes out and he says, and he goes to get Charlton Heston and the Israelites and everything, and the sea opens up and they walk on through and everything, and his chariots, they go on in there, and the water comes back down. And so then Yul Brynner, he comes back to the queen, and she's upset when she says, "Do I see Moses' blood on your sword," or something like that. And he walks in, he says, "Moses' God is God." Like, you know, I've been serving some gods, but I have just found out that this guy really is God. And seeing, we need to, it's like we need to focus our attention back on God. Who's God in your life? I mean, really, who's God in your life? You know, is God God? Or is it some person? You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm going to tell you, if you follow people, people can lead you right into a ditch, but you better follow God. And see, let me say, you know, I was thinking about this morning too. I was thinking to myself, what excuse is going to stand before God? That's right, none. You ain't going to be able to stand before him and say, "Well, you know what, Lord? I got close to so-and-so, and I saw that they weren't really living the way they were supposed to be living, and that's the reason why I wasn't living the way I was supposed to." You know what? God going to say, "You know what? Did you have a Bible? Why didn't you read your Bible for yourself? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't you develop a relationship with me for yourself?" You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, because that's the bottom line. The bottom line is we've got to develop a relationship. We've got to walk with the Lord ourselves. We've got to cling. You know, we've got to come out from among them. Because that's what the Bible says. You know, we've got to be separate. We, you know, let me tell you, it's bottom line. You know, somebody might say, "Well, you know, are you in a cult or something? Because they trying to tell you got to think a certain way." But you know what, though? You got to think the way the Bible thinks.
Right. Amen.
You look, you don't have to say, "I got to think the way Pastor Kay." No, read your Bible for yourself and think like the Bible tells you to think. You got to read it for yourself. You know, ain't nobody trying to tell you nothing wrong. I was meditating on that thing this morning. I said, "Lord, every time I get up, Lord, let me fear you. Don't let me get up there and say something stupid, Lord. I don't want to say anything stupid, Lord. I only want to say what it is you want me to say, Lord God." So I want to encourage you this morning. Get your Bible out and read it for yourself. Ask the Lord to reveal to you as you're reading what you need to know. Ask the Lord to keep you.
Yes.
You don't go off in some crazy doctrine or anything like that. You know, he'll do it. If you really want it, you want it. And then if you haven't really made a commitment, you really haven't asked the Lord into your heart, you really haven't seen a change take place, maybe you need to ask him into your heart again.